Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we look into your word. Lord, that you encourage us, comfort us, exhort us, provoke us to be the believers we should be. And God, just give me the words to say that's pleasing in your sight. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right. The golden years. How many have ever heard that expression? Golden years. I'll tell you what got me started on this is I was reading an article, and a question was asked. I must be shrinking. This thing is getting lower. I used to be 6'2 at one time. I don't know. It's tough to get old, right? Many people, this was the question. Many people believe that retirement leads to the golden years. I don't see what is golden about the elderly on walkers, in wheelchairs, wasting away in nursing homes. Does the Bible talk about this season of life? And that's what got me thinking. And first of all, this golden year thing, what is that all about? Well, I did a little research on that. And I'm just going to read from this. It says, when you hear the phrase the golden years, there's no mistaking the topic. You're talking about retirement, time of relaxation, a time of leisure, etc. But the concept of retirement as an endless holiday isn't even as old as today's retirees. The actual phrase, the golden years, was coined in 1959 in an advertising campaign for America's first large-scale retirement community. It was a gamble to see whether folks 55 and over would embrace an active new way of life, move away from their families, and buy one of the modest homes on a $2 million golf resort development in the middle of the Arizona desert. Who would want to move to the middle of a desert, first of all? However, the campaign was a success. On the first weekend, 100,000 people showed up to tour Suns City, S-U-N-S, Suns City model homes, and see for themselves if a lifestyle free from responsibility and the constraints of working life could actually be possible. Now, this is the interesting part. For many seniors in the 1950s, retirement was a lonely time of decline. They had financial support of Social Security, and they had a job, but once they left their workforce, they had little purpose in their lives. Retirees saw themselves as too old to work, too young to die. So it says, no wonder they grab with both hands the idea of retirement as essential second childhood. So I was wondering, I wonder if Sun City's still around. Well, come to find out, they're all over the country. But the original one, in the middle of the desert in Arizona, is still there. And this is a little thing from their website. Sun City, Arizona, was not only the first 55-plus community in Arizona, but also the first in the country. Del Webb, who started Sun City, Arizona, in 1960, it now has over 26,000 homes, 8 golf courses, and countless amenities and social clubs. And it goes on to say, Homes in the Sun City feature a variety of styles and interior designs, making it ideal for buyers looking for plenty of choices. Okay. Some of the amenities of living in the middle of a desert in Arizona. Residents of Sun City have access to a wide selection of amenities. The community boasts one of the highest rates of golf holes per capita of any active adult community in the country. Although it has been a favorite destination of golf enthusiasts, there are many exciting attractions for non-golfers as well. There are 7 recreation centers that host a vast array of amenities, including restaurants, fitness centers, indoor and outdoor swimming pools, indoor walking tracks, racquetball courts, woodworking shop, and numerous hobby and card rooms. In addition to the recreation centers, Sun City, Arizona is the home to 30 churches, a synagogue, social hall, grand ballroom, performing arts theater, 2 libraries, I was going to say a partridge in a pear tree, but, and an on-site hospital. The grounds are rich with amenities that cater to those who want to stay active. Residents can take advantage of miles of trails, socializing with friends on the pickleball, whatever that is, pickleball, tennis, horseshoe, lawn bowling, and bocce ball courts. Plus, the softball field and fishing lakes are a great place to take the family when they come to visit in the middle of the desert in Arizona. Amazing. Now, that's for 55 and over, active. What happens when you get past 55? Get to 65, 75, 85. Still playing golf? Some people, but for the most part. I mean, it is now. I'm not that old. And I get up in the morning and go, oh, where'd that pain come from? You know. Or, you know, where's my glasses? That's another one. Where's my glasses? Cataracts. That's another thing. Have all kinds of problems. Old age. How do we deal with old age? Well, I want to look at five men in the Bible to get an example. So, you might want to open your Bibles to Genesis. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 27. That's another thing about getting old, for me anyway. I never had allergies before in my life. Now my nose is running. Genesis 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. So what do we know about Isaac at this point? Isaac was old. What kind of shape was Isaac in, among others? Well, for one thing, he was blind. Old and blind. That comes with the territory. Old age. We all have, as we all get older, we all have our aches and pains. We all have our, we slowly, for the most part, deteriorate. Things don't work the way they used to. We have glasses, we have hearing aids, pacemakers, the whole 9 yards. Isaac was blind. Who knows, maybe he had cataracts. They didn't deal with cataracts back then, I don't think. They didn't have, so maybe he had cataracts. But anyway, he was blind. All right, Jacob, Genesis 47. Like I told some of my students that I have in a Sunday school class, you can turn to page 66 because they happen to have the same copy of Bible I have. Genesis 47, and beginning in verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pilate. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Verse 8, and Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. 130 years. Ooh. And he goes on to say, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and I have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers, to the day of their pilgrimage. So Jacob said, I'm 130 years old, but I'm not as old as my fathers, as my ancestors. They lived even longer than me. But how are things going, Jacob? And Jacob said, my pilgrimage, my time here, are 130 years, and few and evil are the days. My days have been full of troubles, full of problems. Usually we ask people, how are things? Yeah, it's fine. It's good. You ever hear that? It's good. I'm doing fine. Jacob, just the opposite. Oh, it's terrible. He was having a tough time. Old age seems to do that to us. All right, how about Moses? Moses lived a good many years. Let's go to Exodus chapter 17. These are easy to find. They're kind of like an order. Starting in verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. I'm going to climb the top of that hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now, how old is Moses at this point? Anybody have any idea? Moses. Don't think of Charlton Heston. That's not Moses. He's about 80 years old at this point. And he's going to climb to the top of the hill. All right. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur, again, not to be confused with Ben, Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hands, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. He was old. Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. In other words, he needed a chair to sit down. He was wiped out. So he gave him a chair. And he sat therein. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand. They held up his hand. One on one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Wow. I have to give Aaron and Hur credit too. They were able to hold his hand up for the rest of the day. But Moses was getting weak. He was getting old. He needed help. Moses needed help, physical strength. Ah, the joy of the golden age. All right. Job chapter 1. We all know about Job, or are maybe familiar with Job. Job Job chapter 1. Now, you don't want to think of Job as a young fella either. He's got 10 children. They all have homes, etc. So he's a full-grown man. In fact, he's getting aged also. But anyway, starting in verse 13. I'm going to go back to verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job had sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. And there was a day, verse 13, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. So they're all gathered together, the whole family. All 10 of his children gathered together in his older brother's house. Verse 14, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee. So they came to Job with this good news. Your enemy just came in and wiped out some of your animals and killed all your servants. But, verse 11, he hadn't finished speaking yet, and while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from the heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped. So now they wiped out his flock of sheep and his shepherds and all those that take care of him, all his servants, wiped out. 17, while he was yet speaking, more. And there came another saying, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and they killed your servants with the edge of the sword. And I only have escaped to tell thee more. Whew. Can it get any worse than that? I'd be devastated at this point. Here goes all my wealth. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped to tell you. All I can think of is a tornado. Came, wiped them out. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and complain. And, said, and he worshiped God and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked will I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many of us would have reacted that way? If that's not bad enough, I'm going to bring Job to his knees. All right. I'm going to skip down to verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. That's from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He was covered with boils. Anybody know what boils are? Sometimes I think of blisters, but they're not blisters. The closest I ever came to a boil, if you're having a boil, well, let me give you the definition of a boil first. It's a medical definition. It's painful red bumps under the skin due to infection of the hair follicles or oil glands. It starts as red, tender lump at the infection area and then may grow to form pus-filled lumps. Like I said, the closest I ever came to that when I was in my teens. And I guess not zits. You know what zits are? I remember I had one big one right there. Woo! Boy, did that hurt. It was a beauty. And back in those days, by the way, back in those days, how did we treat those things? Clearasil. I don't know if you know what I don't even know if they still make Clearasil. I don't think this stuff worked, but at least it covered it up, sort of. But you could tell. You could tell when you go by somebody had Clearasil, because you see these dots on their zits, right? Anyway, I had this beauty, this big thing right in the middle of my, right, bridge of my nose. So and it was hurting. So I got a hot compress, put it on that thing. Try to get it to come to head. I had it on there. Kept putting it on there. Finally, I just went, poof. Boy, that baby was loaded. Now, that's just one thing. Now, here's Job. He's full of these boils all over his body. So, what did he do? Did he put Clearasil on him? No. Not Job. Verse 8, and he took him a potter, a broken piece of clay, to scrape himself with all. He's scraping all that stuff. Not just a little scrape here. He's scraping it all off his whole body. And then, not like today, where we're afraid of germs, you know, you get a little cut, put mercurochrome on it. Well, you used to put mercurochrome. I don't even know like that. They don't put mercurochrome on it. Now you put handy wipes or something to clean it off. But what did he do? After he scraped all this gooey stuff off, he plopped down in the middle of ashes. Right in the middle of dirt. Poof. I can picture that, all the dust coming up. Why would he do that? I can picture it. He was a mess. All the gooey stuff all over him, all the ashes all over him. Probably looked like he got hit by a steamroller or something. And then his wife, to make it even worse, his wife says to him, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. You're a mess." But he said to her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speakest. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? You think we had it bad? We have it bad. How would you like to have been Job back in those days? There was no walk-in center for him to go with, though. Medical walk-in center. All right, let's move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Excuse me. Did that work? Second Corinthians chapter 11. Here we're talking about Paul. Going down to verse chapter 11, Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. So you think you had a hard week at work. But he's not done. Verse 26. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in the watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Physically, he was beaten down. I don't know if I could endure that unless the Lord wants that upon me, but that is beaten. Verse 29. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. And verse 30. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. He glories in all those things. Chapter 12, verse 7. After including all those things that he just went through. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. A thorn in the flesh is never really explicitly given what it might be, but it's conjectured it was an eye disease he had. There's other places in the Bible. I believe chapter 4, Galatians 4, if I remember right. I gotta see if I can remember right. That's another thing that goes as you're getting older, is your memory. Galatians 4. I'm going to be going back there to 2 Corinthians, but Galatians 4, verse 13. 4:13, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ. Verse 15, where is then the blessedness you speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. That's a hint that he had the eye problem. The next chapter 6. One more spot. Verse 11 says, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. So he's having such a hard time reading, he has to write big so he can see. So he's having physical problems. Aside from besides having been beaten to a pulp, he also has eye problems. He can't see. He doesn't look very well. He's not very attractive to people. I don't imagine he would be. Probably all scarred up from getting, you know, beat to a pulp. And then he's got these other things. I listed five. I went through five men in the Bible. Some were very old. Paul wasn't that old, by the way. He died probably around 60 years old, but it was considered old back at that time. But what he went through, he probably looked a lot older than he really was. But all these men went through physical ailments. So the Bible doesn't hide the negative side of getting older. In fact, neither should we. But neither does aging mean that God no longer has a purpose for us. We are not sidelined. So I want to go through a few verses. If you go through with me, or let's go to Psalms. The book of Psalms. Some verses dealing with old age. By the way, old age is a normal process that we go through. Did I say Psalm 71? Okay, Psalm 71. When do we start getting old, by the way? When do we start getting old? 30? Some of the young people here probably think old is 30. Over the hill. When do we start getting old? 50. Oh, wait a minute. Sun City. 55. 55. You know, you're getting old. You're a senior. You get all these senior discounts too at restaurants that are still open. Actually, we start getting old as soon as we're born. Little baby. And he gets older and older and older. Then a teenager. An adult. Then he gets old and dies. Psalm 71. Verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Old age, getting older, our strength fails. We're not as strong as we used to be. I can tell you that right now. Going upstairs. When I first came here, by the way, it's just popped into my head. When I first came here, I was a young guy, sort of. Well, for you young people, I was in my 30s. But I shouldn't say this probably. But come upstairs. Going upstairs. Right now I have to go one at a time. But when I was younger, I used to go up like two at a time, you know. Now it kills me to go up one at a time. And going down the stairs, especially these out here with the railings, you have to grab those railings, whoop, go sliding down. Now I'm holding on for dear life one at a time to go down. You know, weaker. So, good. I lost my place. Psalm 71, 9. Oh, yeah, we just did that. We get weaker as we get older. Psalm 71, again, verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Now, if I'm old, here we are, we're old. Some of us are old. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that has come. Notice he doesn't say, when I'm old, I'm going to show my strength and my power. I don't want to show my strength and power. I got nothing. I want to show God's strength and God's power in my life, old life, even though I'm weak physically. I want to show Christ in me. Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The only thing I can think of in verse 14, or one of the things I can think of in verse 14, it says, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. I can think of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. I can show that in my old age. I don't have to have physical strength. I don't have to jump up and do some exercise or anything. I can sit there paralyzed and exhibit that to the nurses or whoever is around me, whoever comes in contact with me. You remember we had someone here, he's passed on now. He had MS. And up to the end of his life, even as he was all crippled up, even if he was bedridden, always had a smile on his face. You'd go to visit him. Was he grumpy? No. He exhibited the fruit of the Spirit. He was at least able to do that. How about us that are healthy? How are we doing exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit? And believe me, I'm talking to myself here, as well as you. Okay. Let's see what I got for time. Okay, we got time. A few more places. Isaiah chapter 40. Starting in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Here it is, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Just think of getting old. That could be describing some of us that are getting up there in years, so to speak. We get weak. He increases our strength. He gives us his power. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men utterly fall. But, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God's strength, God's might, God's power. We're not talking about physical things. All of a sudden a miracle happens. We become young again. No, we're talking about spiritual strength. It doesn't matter our age, whether we're 15 or 50 or 150. We can exhibit the strength of God in our walk and in our conversations. Second Corinthians. Yeah, we'll go to Second Corinthians. Again, a verse you may be familiar with. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Our outward man. What is our outward man? We're looking at it. This is our outward man. How are we doing? Do we stay 20? 30? 40? No. We're getting old. Getting decrepit. Walking around with a cane. We've got the walker. Oh, poor me. No, that's natural. That's normal. That's the normal growing. Well, those are happy thoughts. Must be some good news in here somewhere. All right. Let's go back to Sun City. John, Gospel of John, chapter 14. So here we are, we're growing old. We got all these problems. Woe is me. Verse 1, Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions or abiding places. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. First hint of Sun City, S-O-N. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 8, for by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive his inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him, with him, the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God's city. We're just sojourning here. We're just passing through. He was looking for something better. He was looking for something better than S-U-N. Better than Sun City. Better than paradise in the desert in Arizona. Something beyond that. What could this place be? Must be in Florida. Hawaii's nice. Expensive. Revelation. Revelation 21. Starting in verse 1. John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Go to a wedding. That's another interesting thing. Guy gets a bum rap on his wedding things. You go to a wedding, who's everybody look at? The bride. The guy's got a tuxedo on, boring tuxedo. But the bride, all decked out. That's how it's described here. The New Jerusalem came down out of heaven prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. By the way, can you say that about Sun City, Arizona? Can you say in Sun City, Arizona, there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain? In this city, that's how it's going to be. In the Sun's city, S-O-N. Verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. You can believe it because he said it. What are we talking about? We're talking about a new heaven, a new earth, a new people. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come here, come here. I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city. What great city? The holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, precious, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Can you picture that? Have you ever seen any city like that? Verse 12. I'm going to move down through it quick because he's describing it. And he had a wall, great and high, 12 gates, etc. 13, and on the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, and the south, 3 gates, going down. Verse 15, and he that talked with me had a golden reed. I'm going to go back up to verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the 12 named the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the walls thereof. And the city lieth 4 square length, etc. He measured the city, the reed, 12,000, the length and the breadth. Okay, skipping down to verse 17. He measured the wall, 140. I want to skip down. 2:18. And the building of the wall of it was as jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall and the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and the fourth is an emerald. I'm not sure what those are, but they're pretty precious. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, a topaz. The tenth, chrysanthemum, chrysophras. The 11th, a jacinth. The 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Wow. Is that an imaginary thing? Is that a make-believe thing? God said it is true. Write it down. This is what we can look forward to. This is what the believer can look forward to. No matter what you're going through here in time, no matter what your aches and pains, no matter if you're falling apart or not, better days are coming. But they aren't going to be here. And they're not going to be in Sun City in the middle of the desert somewhere. Or they're not going to be in Florida. Or they're not going to be in the tropics somewhere. Barbados, no offense. It's going to be a whole new thing. New heavens, new earth. A new city, Jerusalem. Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein. Why wasn't there a temple? For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Christ himself, verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, S-U-N, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light of it. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. Verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abominations or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Those are the only ones that are going to be in there, in that city. Is your name written in that book of life? Are you registered for that city? What do you mean, Mr. Tice? I didn't get anything in the mail. You know, sometimes you get these flyers in the mail. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Are you saved? Do you know him? Because if you're not saved, the most you can hope for is that sun city in the middle of the desert. And that's not saying much. But if you are saved, I don't care if you got a walker, if you're blind, you got hearing aids, you can't hear, whatever. Your better days are coming. The city of God. Are you looking forward to that? Or are we all caught up in our aches and pains? Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. By the way, there is no problem in heaven for food. We're not waiting for the ships to dock somewhere. We don't have truck shortage, driver shortage. There's plenty of it right there. And a variety. It's not the same thing all the time. Every month it's different. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are, and there it is again, faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly, said Jesus. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And again in verse 12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward's with me. And the last verse, he that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. The golden years. Are you ready to enjoy the golden years? Those are the golden years. The best we have in this life is maybe the 10 years. T-I-N. 10 years. I'm looking forward to the golden years. Not what this world has to offer, but what Christ offers. Offers to every one of us. There isn't any of us that can't take advantage of that. So how are we doing as we grow old? With our aches and our pains. God help us to see things as he sees them. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this time, allowing us to see things as you see them. Lord, getting old is just part of the normal process. But we need to look beyond that. We need to be looking to our heavenly home, our final destination. So we thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for, Lord, allowing me to share these things. I just pray that many might be blessed by it. We thank you again for all your promises and for your grace and for your mercy and your long-suffering. Thank you for prodding us and encouraging us to grow and to be those believers we should be, exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, allowing the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to be seen through us and in us. Well, thank you in Christ's name. Amen.